Please turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Leaders are examples of following God. How do we follow God? We do it like Christ did. We pursue and do God's will. That's how we follow God. His will is simple. One way to express it is he wants us to receive salvation and then live and share it. That's God's will. As each of us endeavors to demonstrate our salvation wholeness each day, we certainly want to invite others to see our lives. Not because we are necessarily something great.
As Paul writes in Philippians 3:12.
He says it this way, quote, "As though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after." End quote. So Paul continued to pursue God's will that all men be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth, like it says in Timothy. Despite the challenges that he had, despite the doubts at times that he had, despite his own foibles and weaknesses and shortcomings, like we all have. Because when Paul speaks of not being perfect, he's talking about when we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, like Ephesians 4:13 notes. That is going to happen at the return of Christ. But meanwhile, as leaders, we minister to others, knowing that even if we stumble and make mistakes, God has our back. And here in Hebrews chapter 6 is this wonderful verse, verse 10. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." That's our work. That's our labor of love, is to minister to others. We give of ourselves as living sacrifices. And we endeavor to pursue the will of God despite what the world does to resist the will of God. And sometimes we've got it together. We're cranking and we're doing it. But we minister to others that are having challenges in dealing with the world. And sometimes we can be that example to them when we make decisions not to go the way of the world in our words, in our actions, in our decisions. But we decide to go the will of God's route, which requires us to trust Him for sure. And God does see and not forget those decisions that we make to follow Him when the world is knocking at our door, when the world is at the doorstep with whatever the world is moving. And this is part of how we demonstrate our work and labor of love. Because we honor the name of God, we honor his dignity, we honor his majesty, and not fall into the trap like the world. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, please. We're followers of God as dear children. And as dear children, we follow him with a purity and a simplicity like a child. And it doesn't matter how old we are, because we still can follow him as a child. And I think it's misdirection at the very least, probably more a lie, that as we get older, things have to get more complicated and our lives have to be more entrenched in worldly things. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. We still can deal with things prudently, with common sense, and with genuine conviction of our own, but we don't have to fall into those traps of temptation that the world does, because It's very important that we don't, because then that's where we'll lead people. We want to be right here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye means to become. We continuously become those followers, those imitators. This is something that we get up every day and we do. Because as we follow God, as we imitate God, the beauty of it is that we can set an example for others. And the following of God as dear children, it says in verse 2 that we walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Well, what are we imitating about God here in this context? It tells us in verse 32 of chapter 4. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the example that God is setting. Christ followed that example, and then we follow that example of Christ as well. Christ followed God. We follow God. And it's so significant that it's regarding being tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. What a great example, as opposed to the way that the world treats people. We never want to fall into that trap. The sacrifice of Christ was a sweet-smelling savor, or a pleasing aroma. What's interesting about sacrifices is that the fat regarding the animal sacrifices was allowed to be burned off in the sacrifice, producing a pleasing aroma and expressing a heartfelt devotion to God. And we can see this carried throughout the Bible, all the way to our day and time. So when we walk in love like Christ did, as dear children of God, we give off a sweet odor to God. Now, again, God isn't physical, so he doesn't necessarily receive it into his spiritual nostrils. But the point is that it's a pleasant aroma. It's a pleasing to God when we do this. And it has so much to do with our willingness to carry it out, our willingness to be a living sacrifice for other people, not just ourselves. Look at Leviticus chapter 3, please. Leviticus chapter 3, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 3. Christ's love fueled his devotion to God's will, not his own will. The world will try to teach, mold, manipulate, and coerce people to live unto themselves, to become the center of their world. And this is the challenge that many Christians face today, for sure, because the world promotes, encourages, and endorses, and even rewards doing your own will as opposed to the will of God. See, it requires us to be convinced that His will is actually perfect, that He actually has a perfect will for you and for me in its detail as it patterns out for each of our lives. Now, I know generally, of course, He wants us to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, but how that applies to your life and mine in its specific journey in this life, he can tailor it so perfectly and so beautifully, even on a day-by-day basis. We want to pursue God through pursuing his will, even on an individual basis, and then when we collectively work together as a team. It says in 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved. So as we pursue God's will, We are going to positively impact those that are saved. We're a sweet smell to them. Absolutely. Here in Leviticus, we're just going to take a look at this briefly. In verse 16, it says, "And the priest shall burn them," talking about the sacrifice, "upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's." That's real key, because when they did a sacrifice, they were to allow the fat to burn, not to take it, allowed to burn because it gave off a sweet aroma, a pleasant smell. And what it indicated was that that sacrifice was being offered by someone who is devoted to God. Look at Genesis chapter 4, please. Genesis chapter 4. We'll see a contrast here between the two sons of Adam and Eve that we're aware of, the first two. In Genesis chapter 4, it says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain," he was the firstborn, "brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." Cain was not interested in doing the will of God. He basically represents your worldly wisdom. He didn't bring the first fruits, like the best. He brought the fruit of the ground. And it also tells us in the previous chapter that the ground was cursed. In essence, what Cain was doing is he was rejecting the blood covenant that God had set up with Adam and Eve. Unlike his brother in verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings, those are the firstborn of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. See, it's not the offering, and it's not necessarily how we carry out our service. It's the heart behind it that God is always after. He's been looking at that since the beginning. That's the sweet aroma to God is the decisions that we make in our hearts to follow His will when you have all these other options. You got all these other temptations, and you just decide, nope, I'm a living sacrifice for my God and to promote his son, Jesus Christ. So I am going to pursue this. I'm going to refrain from that. All those things are part of how we demonstrate our work and labor of love, giving honor to his name. Look at Genesis chapter 8. After the flood, we know that Noah took of the clean animals and he sacrificed them. It's one of the first things he does is build an altar. And in verse 20 of chapter 8, it says, "And Noah built in an altar unto the Lord." This is after the flood had receded. "And took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offering on the altar." Watch this. "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor." It wasn't the sacrifice, it was the heart of the person sacrificing. That's what he was after. Amazing. So this is going back some, what, 4,000 years? What's God been looking at all along? He's looking at man's heart the whole time. Now, today, in the era of Christianity, we're no longer offering animal sacrifices to God in order for us to be accepted of him, because we're already accepted of him by the sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Says so in Ephesians 1:6, which you're familiar with, which states, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." That's Jesus Christ. We're already accepted. So, what we do, Romans 12, if you would, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And our sacrifice is a demonstration to others. It's an example to others, just like Christ is to us, to all of us. There's an element of giving, of offering of oneself when it comes to walking in love that cannot be removed from the equation. And that example of Jesus Christ giving himself as a sacrifice for us to really impress upon us and imprint the truth of what walking in love really, really, truly is astounding. And we can do this, even though at times we stumble, even though at times we doubt, even though at times we're supremely challenged in categories of life. God knows you. God knows everything about you. God knows every thought you will ever think, every action you and I will ever take. And he's already prepared you and I to minister, to be examples for others. In Romans chapter 12, we'll close here. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's acceptable to God. What's he looking for? He's not looking for us to build an altar and sacrifice, our works. What he's looking for is us to recognize the mercy that's been given to us and walk in love like Christ did and help others into this understanding and not be fashioned and molded to the world. Because on one side, you and I have the choice of God's will. On the other side, we've got the world. And sometimes maybe it's not as clear. I understand. Sometimes it's not as vividly stark in terms of the lines of demarcation. But God can show us what we need to know when we need to know it. Because our heart is like Paul. I follow after. I continue to pursue because I know what's coming. And the return of Christ and that full measure of the stature of Christ is going to be yours and it's going to be mine. And so we don't get talked out of what God has called us to be and what God has called us to do. We continue to encourage each other to pursue the will of God as opposed to our own self-will or the will of the world. And be not conformed, verse 2, to this age. The world is age. The word world is age. But be transformed by the renewal of the mind. Is a better way to say it. It's putting on the mind of Christ that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. This is something that you and I carry out on a day-by-day basis. We're proving that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God to ourselves. The world is tempting, the world is alluring, the world is confronting, the world is encroaching. Yet each and every day we get up and we prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God because we know his gracious plan for our life is better than anything we can come up with. That's for sure. That's for sure. That's where we trust him. We trust him. We trust him. So how do we follow God? Just like Christ did. We pursue God's will. And his will is simple. One way of stating it is salvation for all and for all to come unto a knowledge of the truth. We share it and live it with others. And as we each endeavor to demonstrate our salvation wholeness each day by the decisions we make, we want to follow his will and invite people in our spheres of influence to join with Christ. So my encouragement is let's keep following and pursuing the will of God individually and collectively and see those blessings abound. Thank you.